Welcome to Women Entrepreneurs Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Bailey. And when I started this show in 2008, I was on a mission to promote women-owned businesses and help women succeed by providing resources and valuable tips from other women and men, small business owners. In each interview, my guests speak openly about their triumphs, the scary times, and tough decisions they had to make along the way. Women Entrepreneurs Radio is about showing women how to harness their natural strengths to achieve success on their own terms. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Women Entrepreneurs Radio with your host, Deborah Bailey. I'm really glad you could join me today. And if you're listening to this show on Podomatic, you can also find it on iTunes. And now you can also find it on Spotify, iHeartRadio. There's also a YouTube channel, but there's different places you can find the show and listen in. So I hope that you will do that. And also if you're on iTunes, please stop by and leave a review. 5 stars is great because the more reviews, of course, the easier it is for other people on iTunes to find the show. So please make sure that you do that. Really love to hear your feedback about the show. And also stop by womenentrepreneursecrets.com and you will also find a list of the different platforms the show is on and also articles of interest to women entrepreneurs. And you can also find out about contributing articles there if you would like to do so. And my website, dbaileycoach.com, is where you find out more about me and my books, and also book coaching, so you can get all that good stuff there. And my fiction site is brightstreetbooks.com, and you can find out more about my books there, different novels and things if you're into that. Please stop by and check out the selection. So I hope that you will do all that. So we're going to get started today with my guest, Emily Kapura. And she's going to be talking about her topic, which is Get Selfish, the key to managing your time, finding your balance, and truly having it all. And Emily is a licensed clinical social worker and certified holistic health coach, writer, speaker, and coach who's passionate about redefining happiness and showing people how easily accessible it is once you shift your definition and reconnect with who you truly are. She's a creator of the Laugh More, Live Louder course, which helps people to map out what's next and take the steps to make it happen. And she's also the founder of Balance and Thrive, a website that offers a holistic approach to living a happy, fulfilling life. And you can find that at balancethrive.com. So welcome to the show, Emily.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here and talk with you.
Emily is a author and publisher now, and I was very honored to work with her to support her as she got her book out into the world. So you definitely will be hearing a bit more about that book later on and seeing where you can purchase it. So we're just gonna right now get started with you, Emily. If you could just share how you got started in your journey to deciding you're going to become a coach and do all this good stuff and start your business.
So my professional background and my education is I'm licensed as a clinical social worker. I have a BA in psychology, a master's degree, and had worked for several years with adults, children, and families in community mental health. So traditional psychotherapy, anxiety, mood, those type of things. And as I was doing that work, I personally was navigating unexplained infertility. And as part of that process for me was, it was a 7-year journey. And pretty early on, you know, I had tried medication and, you know, gone to the doctors and none of that was working. So I was looking for some alternative options. And I personally worked with a health coach a long, long time ago. And so as I was working with a health coach, I was really blown away by kind of the interplay between food and how we feel and our energy and, you know, those type of things. And so that's the reason I became certified as a holistic health coach. And I got into coaching and I started my business when early on in my infertility journey, about 2 years in, I had become pregnant and I had a miscarriage at 14 weeks. And what that really confronted me with was that I very much wanted to have a child, but I was also facing the reality that that may not happen. And this is definitely a process. Like, this did not happen overnight, but I was kind of confronted with that loss. Like, things in my life aren't working. Things aren't, you know, coming together in the way that makes sense to me. You know, like, I'm struggling. You know, I felt like a dark cloud had infiltrated every area of my life. And so I was going through this personally and, you know, professionally, was trying to find a way to do this work that I was really passionate about. I loved working with people, and I was always very strength-based, solution-focused in my work, helping people solve the problems that they were struggling with in life. I really was passionate about the food piece and really bringing in kind of this well-rounded, whole-person approach, dealing with this thing personally, and it all kind of culminated to me being like, you know what? I need to figure out how to do things differently. I've made all of these changes, and I'm going to create this business, Balance and Thrive, in 2012 mm-hmm. to really help people navigate this path for themselves as well, whether it's fertility or any change or anything that you're experiencing in life. I think a lot of times we get so stuck in kind of that curveball that life throws at us. Mm-hmm. And don't know how to work through that process. And so Balance and Thrive and the coaching aspect of it really exists to say, hey, you can be happy. You can create the life you want. You can find new purpose. You can create a new vision for yourself, regardless of what else is going on. Mm-hmm. And so my coaching, my book, Happiness Happens, Balance and Thrive, it's all to support people in that path and process.
And it's really, I think, so inspiring that you told your own story and decided I'm going to share this as a way to help others to find their way. Because that's important once you go through something and you learned about, you know, yourself and what you've been through. And now these are ways that now you can now turn around and say, okay, I know there's other people going through similar things, similar journeys. And yeah. I could share this part of myself to really support others. You know, we touched on that before about people feeling like they have to compete with others in terms of their books and things like that. But, you know, your own authentic story is really what you need to lead with.
We all have a story, right? Mm-hmm. And we all have
yes.
these things that we're going through. And mm-hmm. so the details of that story may look different, mm-hmm. but so much of it is the same. Like, I had four people that I know just this year, clients and people that I knew personally, mm-hmm. Tell me that they're getting a divorce. And mm-hmm. on the outside, looking in on their life, you promise you would never suspect, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, and one of the conversations I was having with one of these women was just kind of that isolation in the struggle and, you know, feeling like you're doing something wrong or something's wrong with you or that there's some blame. I was having a conversation with someone who is high risk in her pregnancy at, mm-hmm. at 30 weeks and now is feeling like, oh my gosh, like, what did I do wrong? How is this my fault? And I think there's so much of that we're confronted with. And mm-hmm. because we're confronted with that, we kind of withdraw and we don't really talk with people mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. We tend yeah. to keep those things to ourselves. And it's hard to keep up appearances mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like, we're all struggling with different versions of the same thing, right? Like,
yes.
Life is hard, right. And it's messy and it's complicated for mm-hmm. all of us in different ways. Maybe it's a health issue, or maybe it's money, or, you know, maybe, your child is sick, or, you know, your business is struggling. Like, there's so many different things that we're facing. Mm-hmm. And when we're facing those things, we can feel like we have to do it all alone, and it can just, you know,
that's true.
That, hard.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's important that for me, that I do my best mm-hmm. to be honest about what got me here, what inspired me to start my business, what it felt like to have, you know, unexplained infertility that I was dealing with for 7 years. Truly felt like a, you know, especially at the beginning, it was really mm-hmm. paralyzing in a lot of different ways in my life, you know, and to really be able to open up and have that conversation, because I think it lets people know that we all have, again, the details may be different, but we all have something that we're struggling with or have struggled with recently. And
yes.
It doesn't mean anything about you or what you are meant for in life, what you deserve, what you can create. It just means that there's this really crappy, hard thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm. That is so, so true. And I think particularly there's so much pressure on people now, I think, in the online world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're both on Instagram. And sometimes, you know, you're seeing people always showing the best, the best
yes.
going through. And here I am lifting weights and look at my body. Or here I am at the beach. Here
I am. Like, yes. Yes. I was at a conference last year in Miami, and at the hotel, I was like working by the pool, and I looked over and I don't know who, like, but they were, you could tell, like, mm-hmm. for like a good half an hour trying to get the perfect, like, picture, you know, like capturing it and moving like this floating tray in the water and like then moving her hair a different way. And I was like, holy crap, that's so much. I'm tired just looking at this process, you know?
Oh my God. That must have been funny.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I just can't. And then it makes me at least feel a little bit sometimes, like with the online space, I just can't keep up with that. You know, I'm not interested. It doesn't even feel real to me. It's not even really what I want to see or look at, you know?
Yeah. It just seems particularly for women entrepreneurs who, you know, women are also always taking on so many other things mm-hmm. as well that we're doing. And then when you go online and you see all this perfection, it's like, how are you doing?
Right. Right.
You know, how do you even have time to do these stories? I mean, aren't you doing other things too? Which just have worked.
Right, right. One, you know, yes, yes. And I think, but people aren't transparent about, like, this took me, you know, half an hour to do this, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. I have help, you know,
right.
I don't, like a nanny or a babysitter who
right.
comes in. These are just, this is a personal example for me. You know, I have somebody who comes and helps me out each week. I have an amazing woman who comes and cleans my house twice a month. Like, I mm-hmm. literally, don't know. I have my parents who live close enough who help me out with my kiddo. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, like, in managing your time is really being able to say, like, I can't do it all, and I don't have to, right? And like we talk about having it all and having this vision of what that means for each of us, mm-hmm. but having it all does not mean that you have to do it all. It doesn't mean that you actually have to be the one who does.
Mm-hmm.
every single thing. And I think that that's like a mental shift that we have to get around, to say, in order for me to have my version of having it all, in order for me to have the career, the business, the family, or maybe there's not a family component, like the personal and professional life that I want to have, I can't probably do all of the things because there are only 24 hours in a day. And if I want to sleep any of those, like I'm going to have to do some things differently and be okay with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Like there's no rule that says if you want to have this amazing, great life, even if it's a little messy and complicated, if you want to have it, like you have to do every single thing to do it. That's like a crazy, I feel like that's like the framework that so many of us are working with.
I totally agree. And I think that's part of the problem that I've had with a lot of people out here, particularly who talk about starting a business and all that, or talk about having tons of success and, you know, which always seems to translate into how much money they're making, is that a lot of them don't really show themselves working or talk about working. They talk about travel and I'm here and I'm there, on vacation always.
Like, yeah, the last top lifestyle, right? Like,
Oh, and how are you doing this though?
It doesn't, how are you doing that?
It doesn't really compute in real life that has, as you said, it has all these components and it's messy and things happen and you go through things. And that's more what happens to human beings. You know, it's not always everything's perfect. So.
Right. And that's okay. That's the other thing that I think like, it's okay that it's not perfect. And I think we're just not, we're not used to that idea either. Like from when we're little kids, I will never forget. We, when we bought our house like 3 years ago and we had some people, we have family here and one of the kiddos ran down the stairs and she was like six or seven at the time and totally wiped out. And you can tell that she was like, I mean, she was not like massively injured, right? But you know, like it hurts when you fall down steps, right? Like, and it's also embarrassing. And the adults in the room all rushed over and were saying, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. Well, like kids, she just fell down, like not all of the stairs, but like, you know, a handful of stairs. She's embarrassed and like, probably a little hurt, so it's totally fine if she's not fine right now. You know, like we don't have to make each other, like you don't have to fix everything. Like you are allowed to feel like things aren't fine. And that doesn't mean that they won't then be fine. And I think all of us, that's one of the things that's so hard to wrap our heads around because we're always like, no, I'm fine. You know, it's fine. All fine. You know, and then we're always putting out the fine out there. And we're so uncomfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. We're uncomfortable with the hard work and the mistakes and the being embarrassed and the being hurt and the being bruised that we work so hard at hiding that. When it's like, and again, to like take this back to, this is one of the big lessons I learned with the unexplained infertility. It was like, I'm not fine right now. And I'm sick of pretending like I am, you know, I'm tired of trying to keep it all together and to go to birthday parties or to baby showers or events and like put a smile on my face and pretend that everything's okay. And I think this is one of the things that's so important in business too, is to be able to really take some ownership and say, this is not okay right now, but that doesn't mean that I can't figure it out or that I can't find the solution. It just means this is hard or I have a long day or whatever the issue is. And like in this moment, I'm not fine, but that doesn't mean anything. It just means in this moment, I'm not fine. And that's totally fine. Throwing a lot of fines around over here.
But it's true. It's so true. It doesn't have to be perfect, slick, polished, everything. You don't ever see the hair out of place and everything's always lit perfectly. And it doesn't, 'cause that's not real life. It never really had a screen real ever. And
no.
There's so much pressure for people to be this other thing that isn't real to begin with. So now you got to create this whole persona and get the lighting just right and get the filters right. You take a picture.
Yeah, and I'm over here like, oh my God, it's exhausting just to think about it. Like, I can't even do it. I'm not even throwing my hat in that ring because it's too much.
It is. It's really crazy. And you know, you're right. Is that really what you were trying to get to in the first place when you said, oh, I'm going to do my own thing, and now you're always working or you're always exhausted or whatever comes out of all that? It's not healthy. It's not really what you should be doing, but it's true. I think our culture is very much rewards that thinking that that's the norm, that you must do this to get this kind of success or whatever they're defining it as. But what about the person that says, no, it's not really what I'm looking for?
I feel like there's a, you know, in the, what I see so much of in the entrepreneurial world is like these two competing paradigms that are like the complete opposite, the extremes, that you either have to work and grind and this is all you do, or you work for 5 minutes and if you do it exactly right, like if you do those 5 minutes perfectly, then you will have all of the things. And it's like these two extremes that are, that when you're, you know, starting out, when you're learning, by when you're trying to navigate what you're trying to create, right? It's so easy to get lost in those extremes. And it's almost like you become this ping pong ball between, well, you know, like, am I doing it wrong? And that's why my 5 minutes of work is not working, you know, and then you go to this other thing and then you're like, oh my gosh, but I'm working 5 million hours and I'm grinding it out and this isn't working either. And I think it's so important that we get back to that place of, why are you even starting your own business? Like, why are you creating this? And there's, years ago, I heard this question. I feel like it was at a conference or a training or maybe in a book, and I can't remember to give it. But the question was, you know, what is the business that you're trying to create? And so many of the people that I know are in this helping framework, right? We're coaches or, you know, trying to provide a service, right? We're pretty much all business is service-based business in some way or another, but you know, what is it that you're trying to create here? And then that follow-up question of, well, why is the business and not volunteer work? And for me, that was always such a powerful question because it helps me really come back to, in business, finding a balance between where I can be in service, where I can help, where I can give, but then also remembering that I'm in business. I have a business that I've created, and using that as a way to measure what I'm setting up, what I'm creating, and just helping to keep myself in check with that question a little bit.
That's a great question though. It really is. And everything you're saying really fits in with your book. When I was reading it and I was like, wow, really saying everything that I agree with and saying it in a way that you're not trying to dress it up and smooth it out. You're just putting it out there. And I was like, yeah, I totally get where you're coming from with this. So, you know, why don't you share a bit about Happiness Happens? What was your process?
Yeah, so Happiness Happens, it's a framework, right? It's a process of self-discovery because, again, so many people are going through life. Maybe their careers naturally evolved or they're, you know, a ping pong in that ping pong space as an entrepreneur or, you know, maybe life threw a really big curveball. And what ends up happening is that when this happens, you go on autopilot, right? And you're just moving through life. And the purpose of Happiness Happens is to really provide you with a framework that allows for you to reconnect with who you are, to tap back into that intuition, that space of inner knowing, and allow that to be the guidance before creating the life that you truly want, you know, and dreaming a new dream, creating a new purpose or vision for yourself, and then taking the consistent action to make it happen. And so Happiness Happens offers a 5-step framework for people to walk through. And it's a hardcover book. It's written in a conversational tone. It has short pieces of easy to grasp information, then an action prompt and a writing prompt. And so the intention of this is really that you work with it and you use it. I had, as I was starting to think about how I wanted to frame this book, and I was having conversations with different people, the thing that I kept hearing, especially from my clients, was, you know, I've read so many self-help books and personal growth, personal development books, and, you know, they're inspiring and the stories are great. And I like that, but I never really do anything with it. Mm. And one person said to me in particular, I'm left feeling like, oh my gosh, if I'm failing after reading this person's inspiring story, then what does that say about me? You know, I'm failing at self-help. And so I was really motivated to create a book that says, you know, here's some of my stories. Here, how these concepts have played out in my life. Here's why I'm walking you through this process. And now you play with them and practice them and explore them. And if you totally disagree with what I'm saying, that's fine. That's actually really valuable because it's letting you know what you do believe, you know, which is, again, guiding you back to your core and what matters to you, and that sense of intuition, which is what's going to allow you to, you know, create the kind of life that you want to be living.
Mm-hmm. That is so powerful too, because as we were saying, people, there's so much pressure for people to fit into a certain box that they may be exposed to, particularly online, that they're thinking, oh, this person is doing all this, and oh my goodness, I'm not doing that. You know, and everything's not all nice and neat all the time, and here they are doing all these things and looking perfect all the way to it, and everything is so nice, and wow, I guess I'm not at that level, or I'm doing something wrong. My life doesn't look like that.
Right. And this book is to help you say, my life looks like what it looks like, you know, and this is why I know it's right for me. And I can consult or ask questions or gather information, but I'm not going to use other people's experiences as the barometer for my personal success or my personal happiness. I get to define what that means to me. I get to define what that looks like in practice, whether it's, you know, work-life balance, whether it's how I set my business up, whether I go into the online space or have a brick and mortar, whatever it is, it's you defining what that looks like for you. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do that when we have all this outside input coming in.
That is really, really important to note, because then you start to feel like you're not doing something that everybody else seems to be doing. And you know, like you're saying, everybody's not really going to say, they're not going to reveal that maybe they're not doing these things, or it didn't work the way it appears to work for other people. Like you're talking about the little girl having the accident on the stairs. It's like, well, I'm not supposed to reveal that this hurts, or I don't feel good after that just happened to me.
Right. Well, yeah. And the other thing that's so interesting, I read an article in the past week or two, by the time it becomes like a trend, what everybody else is doing, the tide tends to shift. And I just read an interesting article on Instagram and how like the perfectly curated feeds. And I guess, and I'm not very hip, I have to admit, but so I don't know this exactly, but I guess there were like traveling Instagram walls or something where people go and stand in line and take pictures either in these spaces or in front of these spaces, and how those used to be wildly popular, and how that's not the case anymore. And so even like finding your space in the online space, which can feel loud and crowded, and then, you know, you start to notice like how people are doing it, and you think, oh, this is how it should be done, right? Or supposed to be done.
Yeah.
And you kind of jump on that, but then the tide shifts, right? And like it turns to a different way of doing things. And, and if you don't have that strong center, you're constantly going to be, I mean, obviously I understand you have to be aware of and in tune with the trends, but decide how you want to utilize those to your benefit or how, you know, your business or life looks instead of trying to always jump on that to catch the wave.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Because a lot of times you don't know that that's already played out because you're seeing it everywhere.
Right.
You think, oh, that's what I need to do. But it's already shifted to something else. And by the time you get there, it's already kind of petering out.
Right, right. Well, and that's what like the brand expert, that's like what a lot of people in the design and the social manager, like that's a lot of what the experts are still teaching. So honestly, I was kind of surprised to read this article, but it, it was saying like the younger generation, is actually pushing the shift because they're showing more like messy real life. And that'll be interesting too, because now are people going to move into this space of like complete mess and like craziness and chaos?
Right.
You know, or is it going to come back to the, I don't know. And I'll be really surprised if like the perfectly curated Instagram feeds are going to go completely away, you know, because I think that they have a pretty strong presence, but who knows, you know, I don't know, but it's just so interesting. But again, like when you're real connected, and this is what I talk about in step two in Happiness Happens, like that process of getting really connected, really becoming who you are, really being grounded in that. When you are, you can make decisions that come from that more like grounded, foundational, clear space.
That's very true. And I think also when people are just kind of being themselves, a lot of times that's what people remember. That's what stands out. Cause it's, people can kind of tell when things are nice and slickly curated. And it's probably always going to be a market for that. But if you're tired of that and you see something completely different and someone's just being themselves in a certain way that doesn't seem like it's like they are pretending to be that way, that's going to stand out to you as something, ooh, okay, I haven't seen this before, or something about it will appeal to you, maybe in ways that you don't even realize because you're kind of tired of the other stuff. And after a while, you don't even, nothing stands out. I think that's the thing that I see a lot, or, you know, of course, if you're on Twitter and everybody's talking about this or that, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm not really into that, so I'm going to skip all this. But then you realize people jump on things because everybody else is talking about it. So now they have to come with their think pieces and their long threads and this and that, because now I've got to jump on this too so I can be seen. But they don't really realize that maybe if 99% of the people appear to be following one thing, so what? How are you standing out now? You're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're just one more person on the bandwagon who is following this thing. And maybe if that's, you're trying to be seen, maybe that's not quite the way to go about it. It's kind of exhausting to have to keep up these appearances of things you don't really, maybe aren't really that person, or you don't believe really, or you don't believe in.
But
after a while, it's like, well, who are you really?
Right. It's easy to get lost in all of that, right? It's easy because you're trying to figure things out. You don't know everything because you're not supposed to, but you're learning, and it's so easy to get caught up, you know, and it's easy. You had asked me a question a while ago that I found so helpful, which was to look at what the people are doing that I really like admire or look up to in their business, you know, and really look at that. And so for me, that's a really helpful question because it almost takes you like above the cloud where if I'm really inspired by Brené Brown and I'm looking at like her Instagram feed and her website and, you know, like watching her talks, one, I want to be conscientious to not like compare myself because she's at a different place in the journey than where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that does is, instead of looking at people who are maybe doing what I'm doing, but like not to that level, you know, like mm-hmm. between me and Brené Brown, like the people who are either in the same space as I am or what, it takes you out of all of that comparison mm-hmm. and looking yeah. and chasing, which I find to be really helpful, because it's like you step beyond that and you don't get caught up in some of the stuff that's happening in the clouds, maybe, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. But yeah, I realized that kind of saying, okay, well, what are these people doing, who you may feel like, okay, this person lines up with who I am or where I like to get to or who I admire mm-hmm. what they did and how are they moving through the world or how are they sharing what they do? You know, are they jumping on right. every single thing that comes through? Are they maintaining their own voice through everything? Are they just sharing positive things and not getting into the nitty gritty stuff? It's very interesting to note.
Right. Right. And the people, like, I'm just going to go back to Brené Brown, because she's coming to mind, and she's somebody mm-hmm. who, I love her books and, mm-hmm. you know, I love what she's putting out there, and she's not actually saying those things. You know yeah. what I mean? And so
right.
it's so mm-hmm. important, as we're hearing the people who are saying those things or who are, mm-hmm. you know, presenting these paradigms, mm-hmm. when you can go to, again, I don't know how to say it besides like above the clouds, when you can mm-hmm. kind of go to that person who you're really like, wow, I really admire this person's career mm-hmm. and like the works that they've put together and the consistency. And you can look at the ways in which they're doing it mm-hmm. to help you, exactly like you're saying, inform what you're in line with right now and yes. what that looks like. And, you know, to not compare, but to draw some wisdom and inspiration from mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, that certain something comes through with her that you right. feel that all of that stuff is off the cuff. And it may not be, because that's her field and that's what she does, but she comes across in such a way that you don't feel like this is someone who's intimidating with all her knowledge and experience. It's someone who you could just kick back with.
Right. And so relatable. And yes. so that's such a good way to inform, you know, yeah. that's something, like for me, again, I really like her style and yeah. like way of presenting, and, you know, and so, and the books that she's written, she's been a huge inspiration, mm-hmm. In the work that I do. And so just being able to take a step back and say, okay, so, how do you have fun in your work, right? How do you kind of kick back and be so well-versed and so knowledgeable in what you're talking about that you don't actually have to have all of your talking points written out? You just right. really are familiar and are just allowing yourself to be open and have fun and mm-hmm. engage in a conversation. And that's so different. That's yes. such a different question than, you know, how do I have the $100,000 class or the right. perfectly curated social feed, or, you know what I mean? And right. I think that's like what we're trying to figure out. That's the question we're trying to ask ourselves, you know, mm-hmm. as we're like navigating the, this world of entrepreneurship, you know, mm-hmm. because there is so much to learn, and, you know, mm-hmm. being an author and looking at that. And again, there's so much to learn. And really being able to step back and ask the actual questions
right.
that we're right. looking to answer. And it's easy to get distracted by the noise. It's easy to mm-hmm. see the other stuff and say, oh, but this person also has it together. They're telling yeah. me they have it together. They look like it has it together. You know, like mm-hmm. this,
right.
taking that step back.
That's true. Because it is appealing to think that, you know, I could just go on vacation or just travel with my laptop and have my, mm-hmm. you know, business empire wherever I want to be
right.
at the moment of the day, and it's all good. And that's great. But then it's real life. So if they're telling me how they do that and they're telling me about how they manage real life, then I'm probably going to give you a little bit more attention than if you kind of delete all that stuff and just, you know, I think a lot of people trim all that down and just make it so that you know, well, here I am and my life is so, everything's in place. Cause I guess, you know, I'm following these steps that I'm going to teach you and it all falls together. Well, tell me what happens when it doesn't. You know, I'm that person who wants to know that part.
Right.
Show me that part. And then now maybe I'll listen.
Well, and because it doesn't always work, right? Like even what is it like even with human perfection, like even if we're doing something perfectly, mm-hmm. there's still mm-hmm. like a 2% error ratio. Mm. And so like the very best that we can be is 98%. And so, and that's being like perfect on point. Right. And so, mm-hmm. but there's still that 2%. So even if you're doing something at like the human ability to do things perfectly, that's still 98%. So you're going to have 2% error, which is totally fine, but it's still going to happen. So to ignore, and most of us aren't able to perform at 98%, like at that level, day in and day out. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at, and this is an older statistic back from when I used to do like the corporate wellness presentation. So it may have shifted down since that time, but really, like, we have to at least acknowledge at the very minimum that there's 2%, right? There's 2% of mistakes and error and things not going exactly right. And so that's the side of the story that at the very minimum, we have to acknowledge that it happens because when that 2% happens and you're like, oh shit, like that's more of a problem, right? To be completely thrown off the game, off your game when it happens.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's it. People don't want to even acknowledge that even that 2% can happen. And so if other things happen in your life and then it's like, mm-hmm. you know, completely throws you off, but you haven't really acknowledged that or don't count that in because you think you're not supposed to acknowledge it. You're being told that that's not even a factor. People hold themselves up to these standards. And mm-hmm. you know, talking about balance, it's like they think they must be, you know, perfectly balanced and everything must fall into place and so much pressure people put themselves under. And then if they can't have that success they think they're supposed to have, then they give up or they think they're terrible.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with me. Right. I don't deserve this. I never can do it. Blah, blah, blah. And then you get my book, Happiness Happens, that helps you figure out that.
So there you go.
Right?
There you go. That's it.
Yep.
That's the solution right there. Stop.
Yep.
Stop. Stop trying to, you know? Stop trying to, trying to fall into line with all this stuff that really does work for everyone. And perhaps there are people that it is, and it's great. But everybody doesn't fall into these boxes. And a lot of times we may not even want what that person says they have. Maybe it's not even what you want, but you get caught up in how it appears to be.
Right. Or think that we should want that.
Right. That's true. I've definitely been there myself. Yeah.
There's a lot of what people are saying they want that I can promise you I have zero interest in. Like traveling. I like to travel, but like travel, you know, as my like way of life. I love vacation. I love travel. I love going places. And I also love coming home, you know, in my comfy bed and like my normal life and my routine. Right. And, you know, I like that a lot. Too, you know?
Right. And that's the thing, you know, people are maybe selling something that doesn't really fit your life, but then you start to think maybe you're missing out or maybe something you don't know or maybe you're wrong because maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. And it can be really hard, you know, with all the noise going on around us to hold on to that part of you that you know is right. That you follow, but then you sidetrack, and that's unfortunately it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. with all the, well, the pressures and everything. So Emily, can you share with everyone where they can find you?
Yes. So my website is balancethrive.com. I am also on Facebook at Balance Thrive and Instagram, the same, Balance Thrive.
And where can they find
Emily Kapura?
Oh, great. Where can they find your book?
At their favorite online retailer. So it's at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. It's in some Barnes & Noble stores and then also Amazon. So you can get it online. If you just Google Happiness Happens, you'll come across it.
Yeah, and I know that people can easily order, I think, order books they want from the store as well. So
yes.
Yeah, if they go to Barnes & Noble and it's not stopped, then they could definitely get it. They can
just Absolutely. I've had people do that. If you stop at your local Barnes & Noble, because I know a lot of people love to support their brick and mortar bookstores because they're awesome. They can order it. And you can also do that at an independent bookstore. So if you have a local independent bookstore that you love, they also can order my book for you as well. So Happiness Happens by Emily Kapura. So
that's wonderful. And yeah, that's going to be in the show notes, everybody. So you can also get that information. And your course is also, they can access or learn more about that at your website?
Yes. So on balancethrive.com, there's information about my course, Laugh More, Live Louder, up there. My website is actually going through an update. So, I'm not sure exactly where the course is going to fall once that update happens, but it will be very easy to find the course by going to balancethrive.com.
Great. So now they can find out all the things that you're offering and definitely, get your book, which I think they really, enjoy. So, you know, Emily, we could talk for another few hours. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I know that you've got things, to do and take care of. So, just want to ask you, before we wrap up, if you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share.
I don't. We talked about a lot. I could probably talk about all this for days. So, I think we covered a lot and that's great. So I don't have anything else. I think that I can think of to add at this time. So thank you. Thank you so much. I always enjoy our conversations. I'm so happy to have been able to be here with you today. So thank you so much for having me.
Yes, you're so welcome. And I do too. So I'm really glad we had a chance to chat, before the show and during the show. So
yes.
I'm very, very happy that we got a chance to do that. And, definitely, love to have you return and give us an update on everything that you're doing and any other, things that you're doing in your in-person, presentations and workshops and different things that you are also doing is great too. So definitely you can, like I said, come back anytime and, we can continue this topic because it's always something here that will help someone else, so they can be better too in what they're doing. So, balance is a topic. It's never going to go out of style.
Right.
Never.
That's true.
Never going to go out of style. It's always a popular topic, on the podcast. So, really glad that you could come and share that. So everyone, I know you enjoyed the show. Please share this, with your friends and contacts and also share it on social media. And as I said before, come to, iTunes if you listen there and share a review, 5 stars, of course, and let everyone know how much you enjoy what you heard through today. So again, it's been Women Entrepreneurs Radio with your host, Deborah Bailey. So glad you could join me today and we'll see you again next time. Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can also join in the conversation on facebook.com/womenentrepreneurs and on the website, womenentrepreneursecrets.com. DVCoach.com. And don't forget to listen in on DVCoach.podomatic.com and on iTunes.